This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
So recently we had Neil Williamson in from the Free Enterprise Forum talking at length about his and his organization's views on the Architectural Review Board with the of Albemarle County. And his main I guess the takeaway was that he said, you know, we're not opposed to certain standards that might be upheld by an architectural review board. But he said, we really have to wonder whether or not businesses are succeeding because of the architectural review board or in spite of the architectural review board. And I think his primary message was the latter, that the ARB is throwing up too many roadblocks, is getting too involved, and is an example of big government in our neighborhood. And that was a conversation we had earlier today that you can listen to the complete podcast at WINA.com. Candace Smith is a local architect and was a member of the Architectural Review Board in Albemarle County from 2001 to just recently in 2008. She joins me live in studio from what I gather is a different opinion and perhaps a response to Neil's report that was called the Eye of the Beholder report that the Free Enterprise Forum presented. What was your reaction? I know you've heard his conversation. What's your reaction to what Neil had to say and that sentiment in general that the ARB is just too heavy-handed?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me here. I think that, you know, when I heard him on WINA that morning before he presented his 27-page report to the Board of Supervisors, I was concerned with some of the elements that he talked about, and then I actually read through his report and felt that I needed to come before the board and also give my comments. And coincidentally, at the same time, three or four other people actually showed up for the same reason to put their comments in before the Board of Supervisors. And I think that it was commendable that Neil looked into the actual facts of how the ARB is structured, but he selected very specific case studies to try to make the ARB look like a monster, because that was sort of his premise, that we were the ARB was a monster creeping into places they shouldn't be. And, you know, one person stood up, Paul Wright, who's the had been a chairman on the ARB for many years, and pointed out that several of the pictures used were actually city projects. So you couldn't use those as examples of county ARB problems if they were city projects. And there were several other comments that he made that made me think he had done a great job initially researching his work, but maybe had not completed the work and maybe addressed and interviewed more people than maybe he should have.
So biased and in error, I guess, is that a way to put it?
Yes. He actually used words such as the ARB was gunning for businesses, and that there were too few applications that had been appealed because the developers were afraid of the ARB for repercussions in the future. And the real reason there have been very few appeals is that there have been few direct, outright denials. The staff, you know, over the 7 years I was there, worked incredibly hard trying to make sure that all of the applicants could get through. And, you know, if they would refuse or forget to put trees along the street in every application they submitted and then resubmitted and resubmitted again, the staff had no choice but to say, look, here are the very basic guidelines you need to follow. You need to get this right before we can approve it.
Right. So we're talking with architect Candace Smith. She was a member of the Albemarle County Architectural Review Board. Tell us, what is the Architectural Review Board? And what does it do?
That's a great question. There are five members. There's ideally at least two architects, and currently there's a landscape architect as well. There's a developer and a business person. And they are brought projects that require a certificate of appropriateness, which includes anything with a building permit for projects that are strictly along the entrance corridors, which are the primary roads you might imagine, 29 and 250, even Route 20, 231. They go to the edges of the county pretty much, but most of the projects that are submitted to the ARB are really along the major commercial corridors. And to get a certificate of appropriateness, they need to submit a plan, even though it's early in their stage of planning, that shows that they will, in fact, have enough room to put trees in, plants in. If there's utilities in the way, they'll leave room for that. And we really looked at building aesthetics, really the overall site. In other words, were we going to look at a sea of parking? That was the one thing we would often be worried about before even seeing the face of the building. We were trying to get a little bit more architecture and structures along the corridor rather than just cars with buildings at a far great distance.
Yeah, which was, I guess, the model, the 70s, 80s model that you just throw in a huge... I can remember when Barracks Road opened in 1959, the ad in the Progress says, acres of free parking. I mean, that was a selling point. Come out to the country and go shopping, and there's acres to park your car, and you walk for a while, and you'll get to the back of the parking lot, and that's where we shop.
Exactly. And the zoning requirements require a certain amount of parking for every square footage of commercial space. There's actually a lot of zoning things that don't have anything to do with the ARB that must be met. For example, you need to have one tree for every 10 parking spaces, so you don't end up with just cars. You end up with shade. I mean, if you go to any of the more recently developed parking lots along the entrance corridor, you'll see everybody trying to park next to the one or two trees that are in there. And, that's the point is that those wouldn't even have been put in unless we had a really generous developer.
Now, we're talking with Candace Smith, a local architect. She was a member of the County Architectural Review Board. She's responding to Neil Williamson's Eye of the Beholder report from the Free Enterprise Forum, which was highly critical of the work of the ARB. Certainly, this is nothing new. I mean, in your years on the board, you would have had to have heard from a sentiment in our community that just, we don't need the Architectural Review Board. Every decision you make is bad. I mean, this isn't new.
It isn't new. But thank goodness the board has been in existence for almost 20 years. And you can literally drive along 29 or 250 and see what projects are new by counting the trees and the bushes and the scale of the building and the size of the signage.
And the goal is what?
The goal is to have orderly and attractive development as you enter the city. Actually, as you approach the city of Charlottesville, the county was given the right to even have an architectural review board because there were historic landmarks, and you can't just automatically have a review board. There are certain requirements that you have to have. So we were really supposed to respect the traditional and character of the city and county, our treasures such as Monticello and the university. It didn't mean that the ARB needed to make everything brick and white
columns. White,
exactly. Yeah. That was not what was needed, even though people have said that's what the ARB is looking for. There have been many, actually, modern buildings approved because what we have strived to do is take the context of the building and be concerned with that. If it's a rural project, if it's a vet building out in the country, hardy plank and asphalt shingles is fine.
Yeah.
If it's a commercial building in town, it needs to have a certain scale, but what they do is integrate the concerns with signage and plants and buildings so that the buildings aren't billboards. That's one of the main things that we're concerned with.
Let's bring the listeners in on this conversation. Eric is in Charlottesville. Eric, you're on the program. You're on with Candace Smith. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Coy, I think the problem some citizens that you mentioned have is that a lot of this seems fairly arbitrary and up to a small group of people who have a very narrow aesthetic idea of what they want. And it seems to fly in the face of private property rights, which some of us seem to still care about. Also seems that places that are a little bit more liberal, so to speak, with their signage ordinances tend to attract businesses that people would otherwise want to go to. For example, Cracker Barrel in Waynesboro, or there are a few other businesses that I can think of that were forced to go someplace else. And those counties were perfectly happy to have that tax revenue, and it doesn't seem like we've had civilization fall apart as a result of it. So I just think that it's a little bit too flippant to suggest that people are just saying that every decision they make is bad, but I think it's perfectly reasonable to ask the question, by what right do they have to make these decisions? It's, we're not talking about putting sausage factories in the middle of neighborhoods. We're talking about mandating things for businesses that make it unreasonably expensive for them to locate here, which hurts our tax base and causes a lot of problems to people that would otherwise love to do business in Albemarle and Charlottesville.
Eric, great call. Terrific questions there. I wanted to ask specifically about the Cracker Barrel, but before we do that, what about Eric's larger point, this idea that having an architectural review board, just a few people, just your ideas about what's appropriate, the idea of private property rights, some of the issues that he brought up?
Well, I'm glad he asked that. The board actually has guidelines in it that are designed strictly for the ARB, as well as having to respond to all the counties' zoning and other requirements. And they have been written over the years. It sometimes takes years to get the guidelines developed. But if you look, for example, at the ARB sign guideline booklet, it's got very, very specific images and examples. So if someone was trying to put a sign on a building, they could see what would be generally approved and what would be disapproved.
And it comes from the board.
This comes from the board. And it was actually, it was when I was on the board for those 7 years, it took us 4 or 5 years to develop it. We had meetings with sign makers. We had meetings with the public. And the Board of Supervisors eventually had to approve that and make those guidelines be the guidelines that needed to be followed.
So this isn't just something that's just on the Architectural Review Board. It's been vetted by the community. It's been vetted by the Board of Supervisors.
Right. The Board of Supervisors is definitely the boss of the ARB. And they would have had to approve any of these sort of basic guidelines. Now, when you're dealing with aesthetics, you're always going to end up in some instance with some subjective comments, because that's what, beauty is. And clutter can be interpreted as, a tapestry by some,
right,
and as,
one person's garish sign is another person's necessity to have a successful business.
Right. And, what we found over and over again, signs are often part of the topic, is that many, many businesses are totally successful and very happy if their signs are not following. They may not be super happy, but their businesses do not fail if they don't have signage. In fact, recently at the roundtable that was formed, I think even yesterday, for sign makers to meet, one of the arguments was, well, we need bigger signs for wayfinding. And one of the questions was, well, how do you deal with a new technology that nobody even looks at the signs? They look at their GPS, and it takes them right into the parking lot. So not that I would ever recommend no signage, because I think it's a part and character of the building. We just want the signage to be integrated,
yeah,
so that it isn't billboard and, garish flashing lights, that it's really part and in proportion to the structure.
Well, we're over time. Eric, thank you for the call. We're going to continue to talk about some of the things that you raised. We'll take a break for local news, and we'll continue with architect Candace Smith. She was a member of the County Architectural Review Board from 2001 to 2008. When we get back, let's talk about the idea that Eric mentioned of, this just violates personal property rights, and we'll talk about that infamous Cracker Barrel issue as well. Coming up in just a few minutes, don't go anywhere. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's continue our conversation with local architect Candace Smith. She was a member of the Architectural Review Board in Albemarle County from 01 to 08, and she's in to respond to the Eye of the Beholder report presented by the Free Enterprise Forum, released earlier this week. Neil Williamson was a guest on Monday afternoon and spoke in detail about this very subject, the work of the county's Architectural Review Board. And you point out that this report presented by the Free Enterprise Forum against the county review board includes city projects, includes photographs of projects from the city, which I'm guessing was an oversight on his part, because that's clearly moot, unless he's trying to draw some contrast. But those projects are clearly not under the purview of the Architectural Review Board in the county.
That's right.
So tell us about the Cracker Barrel. We keep hearing people say, oh, the Architectural Review Board in Albemarle County chased away a Cracker Barrel. We all want a Cracker Barrel. We're tired of driving to Waynesboro to go to a Cracker Barrel. And if only the Architectural Review Board in Albemarle County hadn't chased off the Cracker Barrel. When Neil was in here on Monday, he said that they didn't like the sign, they didn't like the porch with the rockers, and that y'all just said no to everything.
Thanks, Coy. The information that I have received from a current board member is that actually is an urban legend, and Cracker Barrel has never been brought by a developer in front of the ARB. So any thought that it was the ARB that may have restricted development of or bringing that to town is not actually accurate. There may have been site plan issues that where they were thinking of locating that might have been, they might have recognized might be too hard for the county to approve, whether it was parking or lighting or something else, but the ARB actually is not responsible for Cracker Barrel not being here.
So the Architectural Review Board in Albemarle County, just to reiterate, has never been responsible for, has never said no to a Cracker Barrel, has never even reviewed a Cracker Barrel application.
That is my understanding. That is correct. It has not come before the board.
So let's just clear that up. And what is this about the Toys R Us? Neil mentioned something about the Toys R Us, or a caller said something about, we don't have a colorful Toys R Us because the Architectural Review Board, was working against them succeeding, I don't think they're not succeeding.
Right.
I go there quite a bit, and the lines are always long.
Right. The Toys R Us, the sign for it came up before the sign guidelines that are much more specific in terms of trying to help developers understand how proportion and scale are applied to signs. It came up before then, but the intent was that the signage was needed to be more reserved or more in context with adjacent buildings. And I know that they came before the board and wanted to use their Joffrey the giraffe.
Right, the big giraffe head that sticks out of the sign. Yeah.
That's correct. And the existing board said, no, that's really not where we need to go. And in fact, the Toys R Us sign, actually, when I was on the board during 2001 through 2008, actually came up for refacing, which meant it got new colors or new shapes. And so there was something changed, but they did not at that point come back and say, can we put Joffrey back up? So it didn't seem to be critical at that point. They were actually adding Babies R Us or something adjacent to it, and we wanted to make sure it was a cohesive
I should say, this is not unique. I mean, the other Toys R Us I've seen don't have Joffrey on them. I think that's more of an older... I could be wrong, but I think that's more of an older sign from older days, because the ones I've seen in other towns, they don't have Joffrey on them.
Well, that's actually a great comment, the fact that signs change over time, and our guidelines needed to be changed over time. You know, we don't see the big plastic yellow McDonald arches anymore. You know, they don't use that as part of their, you know, they use them on the building, but they don't make them 12 feet tall and 6 feet
wide. And
that's
important to point out. The Architectural Review Board isn't saying no to the arches. McDonald's not using them anymore.
Or they're using them as a logo on their side of their building.
So, yeah, but not the arches we all grew up with. You
right,
know,
right.
50 billion served and stuff.
Right, exactly.
They just don't, McDonald's has chosen not to make that part of the,
right.
the built environment.
They've upgraded even the look that they want.
Yeah.
And that concept of moving on to guidelines that need to be updated, which is something I think that Neil did have in his report, is true, but a lot of it has to do with technology. For example, LED lighting that is environmentally better, you almost never have to change the light bulbs, is something that sign makers are now really happy to use and sign buyers are happy to have, so they don't have to spend the money relamping their lights. But the brightness of those lights is so significantly different that when I was on the board, we actually had sign makers come in and give us a lesson on LED lighting so we could understand the science of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important that some of these technology things get, do be addressed. And, you know, for example, there was a technology that is rarely used, and I'm not quite sure why they don't, but signs can actually, a lot of the internally illuminated signs as opposed to one that you shine a light on, are plastic, and they have a vinyl put over them to make the color of whatever you want. They actually make vinyls now that are perforated, so they can have, in the daylight, look, let's say, white, and at night they can look blue because they can shine a different color through it. So you can literally have a white sign with blue lettering during the day and a blue sign with white lettering at night.
All of which points to the underscores something Neil did have in his report that, you know, we do need to update our guidelines and always be having a discussion about, you know, what do we want the review board to be enforcing.
Exactly. And you know, I think that it may not have been clear in some of his research to realize that those ARB guidelines, you know, had public meetings. They had sign makers come in and talk to the board. They had, you know, I think maybe even a meeting with the planning commission. There was a lot of discussion and an opportunity to provide input. And those, you know, those guidelines were put out as a draft for people to comment on.
So it's not just five people who get together in a room and have decided what they're going to enforce.
Right. Ultimately,
the community has said to the five, this is what we want you to enforce.
Right. And it's
now, there may be people who disagree with that, but...
Right. And it's still subjective when you come down to the aesthetics, when it comes down to a very particular application. You know, you can have two architects sitting on the board and maybe they can make a comment, but they are supposed to be striving for consistency. And as you know, consistency can be difficult. If, for example, if you brought something up even before the Board of Supervisors last December, and then you brought up the same project in January,
it's a different board, isn't
it? You would have had to start all over again. So, you know, or, you know, start from a little bit different approach.
Right.
So
right.
Just when the ARB gets new members, it's just human nature. You know, some people work harder and do their homework and research the cases, and others come to the board and really want to rely on their own aesthetic as they see the project presented. So
if you just joined us, we're talking with architect Candace Smith. She was a member of the Albemarle County Architectural Review Board from 2001 to 2008. Let's bring the listeners in on this conversation at 977-1070. That's the phone number, and the lines are open for you. Your thoughts on the Architectural Review Board. With whom do you agree, and what is your opinion? Neil had some recommendations for making some changes, And it sounded like, I remember one of his recommendations was, the Architectural Review Board operates too much on its own, and it needs to be under more tighter control by the Planning Commission, for example.
Right. And there are certain tracks that certain projects go through that need to be approved by engineering and by planners, that they just need the ARB approval. So there are some things that the Planning Commission and the ARB actually have had discussions over the year to make sure that there is appropriate overlap. If the Planning Commission is reviewing a site plan, they sometimes say it's approved, except we need to get a certificate of appropriateness approved by the board, because they are not supposed to be dealing with aesthetics of the building. You know, is it the right color brick?
The Planning Commission.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, their issue is, does the building meet the right square footage? So whether it's long and linear or square, they can comment on it, but they're really looking more at site planning issues and not the aesthetics.
Is it protecting local water, a local stream, and things like this?
Right. And, you know, allowing for adequate parking so people don't go to a business and then can't park. You know, there's certain things that they try to, that are already codified, that they want to make sure are followed.
Listener, you're invited to join this conversation at 977-1070. Your thoughts about your Albemarle County Review Board, too big or just right? Gary is on line one. Gary, go right ahead.
Hey, great show this afternoon, Coy.
Thank you, Gary.
A couple comments, and then I'll just hang up and let your guest respond. Number one, my vote for the ugliest building in our area in an entrance corridor, I call it the Johnny Reb car wash out there on Pantops. I'm assuming it's in Albemarle County because it's on the east side of Free Bridge. How that building got by the ARB, if the ARB was in existence at the time, totally red and gray ugly at that entrance point. The other comment I would make, I'm wondering, with the change in the makeup of the Board of Supervisors in Albemarle County after the past election, whether the Free Enterprise report, its timing isn't trying to perhaps stir up the majority on the supervisors to relook at what is in policy right now. And I'll just have your guest comment.
Gary, great call. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend. Candace?
Regarding the building, it definitely came in before my time, so before 2001.
Is he talking about the one that at the intersection there where 20 comes in,
yes,
into
yes,
250
and
there?
That might be city, because I know we've reviewed buildings right across the street, and then, of course, the VNB building, the new Virginia Bank building,
yeah,
right up the hill from that. And it's very interesting that he brings that up, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I'm not sure that came before the board, but there have been very modern buildings that have been approved. And, you know, sometimes people feel that the building needs to express its function and utility rather than just maybe its aesthetic. So I'm not sure if that building came through. I really can't speak to that per se, but I think there are some people who it got an design award. I know the architect.
No kidding.
I know the architect that designed it. So again, you know, who was on that design committee to make those awards? So
I've never really thought that was an ugly building. I just thought, well, there's a car wash.
It's utilitarian, and it shows the cars going through, and it was one of the first of its kind that had, you know, let you actually see the vehicle go through and,
yeah,
see the workings of it. So it had some interesting ideas, and, you know, trying to work with, I guess, long-term maintenance, so you didn't have to paint the building. And but I actually don't know if the ARB actually had to deal with that. But it's interesting, because the next building up is the Virginia Bank building.
Which is a relatively newer one up there.
It's
right?
Very new, yeah, and it's multicolored brick. And I remember one of the Board of Supervisors saying, how did that go through? Why isn't it just a single-color brick? And someone else said, but it's beautiful like that. So you can tell that there are going to be differences of opinion even as we go. I mean, one of the things that we tried to do, at least I did when I was on the board, was really look for proportion and scale so that it wouldn't be out of proportion. And, you know, one thing to look at, just to give you an example, I don't want to advertise them or anything else or not advertise them, but there was a building up 29 North on the left before Whole Foods that's called Men's Warehouse.
Yep.
And the sign that faces 29 is in proportion to the building. It's maybe 2.5 feet tall. It says Men's Warehouse. The sign that is on the southern face as you drive north is about 3 or 4 feet tall, says Men's Warehouse, and it's very much overwhelming to the size of the building. But when it came before the board, it would happen before I came in, I think they saw one elevation with a sign and one elevation with a sign and sort of assumed that they'd be in scale, and they weren't.
So it got through.
It got through. And but now it's used as an
example. And I know exactly what you're talking about because I buy suits there. Yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about. The one sign is much bigger.
Right. And it's used as an example internally on the board to, you know, let's be careful when we look at signs. Let's make sure we look at all
And
the,
that's what you mean
elevations.
When you talk about consistency.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. And also being consistent from one person submitting to the next. So the guidelines.
Which maintains a certain fairness
right.
for the business community.
That's right. And also the more... we're not looking for homogenous design at all, which is what I think some sign makers have said we're doing. That's not been the case at all. It's just to get some consistency so there's not too much going on every single place so that you feel distracted even as you drive along.
Yeah. We're talking with Candace Smith, and the phone lines are open for you to join this conversation at 977-1070. We're talking about the County Architectural Review Board. Candace is an architect and served on that board from 2001 to 2008. 977-1070 is the phone number. Let me ask you this. What is the ultimate purview of the review board? I mean, can you tell business owners what the back of their building has to look like?
The purview of the entrance corridor ARB is strictly what is visible from the entrance corridor. So we really only look at the elevations that you can see if you see the side of the building or the front of the building. If there's anything be at the back relative to where the entrance corridor is, we cannot talk about it. It can be, you know, as far as we're concerned, it could be neon pink. We really just want to make the experience of coming down our entrance corridors as something that is welcoming and other businesses will want to come here and set up shop and
Consistent and fair to the business owners.
And, right, and that citizens will be very proud of living in this community, which is, again, it's a universal approach in terms of having the right number of trees, the right number of bushes. And again, it's not homogenous. You don't have to have all the same trees, all the same bushes. You just need maybe the same, you know, a certain quantity of large trees, a certain quantity of small flowering trees, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, and this is not a unique thing. I mean, you go anywhere in this country and there are... You know, there's architectural review boards, and some of them are a whole lot more aggressive than what y'all do.
Right, right.
A lot more.
And I think one of the things that's happened is that the I don't think the public is aware how much the staff tries to work with each applicant, whether they're uneducated on a subject, they overlooked, you know, some of the requirements or, you know, are not familiar with the area. The staff really works hard to try to give them a heads up, let them come in for conceptual, you know, consult. And in an ideal world, they come in once, we look at it, and we even try to tries to streamline things by putting up, sometimes instead of rejecting something, they'll say, it's approved except for this, and we want you to come back for what they call is a work session, which is not something that
to work through that challenge.
Yeah, they don't have to wait for 6 weeks. They can come back in 2 weeks and address that one area, whether it's trees or parking or a conflict of utilities or a signage or something. You know, maybe they didn't bring the sign and it's important that the signage be part of the package.
We're talking with Candace Smith, and Elizabeth is on the program. Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Hi. I appreciate what the board tries to do, and I wonder how you deal with signs for national chains or that there's a look that people associate with that business so that when you're looking for whatever that restaurant is or bank, you know, you search out a certain type of sign. How do you balance having a business use that and what is not acceptable in an entry corridor?
That's a terrific question. Yeah.
It's interesting because we deal with applicants as they submit one at a time. Sometimes they only submit one building and we look at it regarding that particular building. But a lot of the businesses that you might be talking about come into a shopping center. And in order to streamline the process, we try to make the shopping center decide what their general colors, forms, fonts, or something, some consistency within their shopping center.
So let the landowner and the property owner decide what they want to,
right.
The requirements they want to have for their businesses, their tenants.
Right. And as tenants come into lease a space, they need to respond to that. So we have, you know, someone will say this is taking away, you know, property rights, but we have, for purposes of consistency within a shopping center, had Starbucks that usually has, let's say, a green sign. It's come in red up at the giant shopping center up on Pantops. It's white up on 29 North where there's the Music Today near Whole Foods. And they are thriving businesses. So the fact that their sign went from, you know, green to white or red.
But those aren't ARB requirements. Those are requirements of the business owners who own shopping centers.
The owners of those buildings picked what colors they wanted to have for their shopping center. They could have picked a variety of colors, not rainbow colors, although we actually did approve rainbow colors on a Meadowbrook shopping center because there was an existing paint store and the signs were what we call externally illuminated. So they didn't glow at night. You could, we you know, because they were just what you saw during the daytime, we gave them much more flexibility in terms of the signage.
Interesting. But before we go to Margo, hold on. Point blank, are businesses failing in Albemarle County because of the architectural review? Because that was sort of the subtext of the Free Enterprises Forum's report, is the ARB is killing business in Albemarle County.
I have not seen any sign of that, to make a pun, using sign-ins, because I know that the staff is actually, even though the staff has to respond to the Architectural Review Board, ultimately they're all responsible to the Board of Supervisors. And no matter what Board of Supervisors we've had in place, they all want to encourage good development and business, maybe at different paces.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there is an underlying urgency to try to get these businesses in place.
Let's go. We've got time for one more question. Margo, thank you so much for the call. Go right ahead.
Yes. I was just wondering what the objection to the Ron Martin's, you know, the pool that they had wanted to put in front of Ron Martin's, you know, store, appliance store. What was the objection to that?
Was it a swimming pool?
No. And I'm not quite sure exactly why they, the Martin family had wanted to put it in, but it was, I guess, maybe just a small little reflective pool.
Oh, water.
Water.
Oh, got it. Actually, it's funny. There is actually some kind of rock or water feature up at Pan Tops. We actually have approved water features. There's one that's, I don't know if it'll ever get built, but there's a building heading out towards the airport that has a plaza and a water fountain feature that was approved. It probably had to do with the scale and proportion and maintenance issues.
But you approve that kind of thing.
Right. Or maybe it was sitting in the right-of-way. You know, maybe it wasn't on their land.
Yeah. So. Candace Smith, she's a member of the, or was a member of the Albemarle County Architectural Review Board from 2001 to 2008. Margo, thank you for the call. And Candace, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coy. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.